November 16, 2020, it's the Watt from Pedro Show. Pedro Show, happy Monday. Start off the show with Serenity from John Coltrane, which I believe means a little peace of mind. Thank you, Mr. Coltrane. And then Burn the Wall, which is kind of calm, kind of not. But who knows, you know, because in music and lyrics, people, we can use metaphor and analogies and stuff. And so things, yeah, can get kind of symbolic. And that's from Last Giant. And yeah, Brother Matt's still in the love grotto on the pleasure point because we're quitting quarantine mode, but I'm not totally man alone because those software engineers in Estonia with their incredible Skype invention, I got Ryan from Last Giant with. Welcome aboard, Ryan.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And you're talking to me from Portland, Oregon, right?
That's correct. Yep.
Yeah. Please give me your first musical, not your first, but because how do you know? But your earliest memory that you still got of music?
Well, My earliest memory of music, honestly, was my folks' house, and my parents were super into disco, and they would play that Saturday Night Fever soundtrack all the time, and I was like 5 years old, and my parents would, they took disco dancing lessons, and they'd make my brother and I sit and watch them as their audience, and they'd just play that record.
Well, that's why people have kids, right? Yeah, captive audiences. Yeah. But anyway, you know, I think dancing, it might have been part of the first musical instrument. I think actually the feet pounding on the ground were the first drums. So maybe in a way, yeah, you got like a foundation lesson in music without knowing it. Maybe right. Without them knowing it either. But there's something about dancing, right? Yeah. There's something about rhythm and moving the body.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that was a connection, too. Plus, you think the grooves, like, I think that made a big impression on me musically. Just the grooves alone, that stuck with me. But I also came from a musical family, so my grandfather was a horn player in a big band outfit, and yeah. My mom was a singer, actually, and they were from Thousand Oaks, California.
The Val. Not too yep. far from where Cap Beefheart, that house where they practiced up the Trout Mask replica.
Wow.
So were there instruments in the pad you grew up?
Yes. My pop was a clarinet player, so he had his clarinet. But my grandfather, I started with the drums, and he got me a drum kit when I was like four, you know, like one of the four or five, one of those paper head drum sets.
That's funny because a couple of episodes somebody was talking about that, and actually the first urinal record, Kevin's playing one of them. Now 4 years old, did you pick it?
I mean, with my grandfather around, he was able. I mean, it's so young that it's hard to take a lot of direction, but it kind of made sense. I didn't get serious about it until I was about 9 or 10, and then I got a 61 Ludwig Blue Sparkle drum kit.
Yeah.
And then I got pretty serious. My brother and I had a punk rock band by the time I was 10 or 11. So.
What about lessons?
Lessons, I only took 6 months worth of lessons.
Okay, and after that, self-taught with records and stuff?
Yeah, and at the time, too, like, I probably around 9 or 10, I guess there was a lot of hair metal on the radio, so it was pretty easy to play along to that stuff. Just four on the floor.
You know,
yeah, yeah.
You know, it's funny because you bring up something great, Ryan, because if you think about Black Sabbath, they're kind of a pioneer. But it ain't butt rock because Bill Ward is not four on the, right? He's kind of jazzy.
Oh, man. Yeah, just awesome. Just so colorful and all the shades, light and dark he puts into his drumming. He's just, it's definitely compositions, I think.
Incredible. Especially like the first records, right? Like Paranoid and Tom's stuff in Master Reality, like, I don't know, all of them. One of them, Children of the Grave, it sounds like he's running against a wooden fence with a stick.
Right. Well, that's okay. One of my favorite Sabbath songs, for sure.
Yeah, just it's funny how it, for a little while there, it lost its way and got into that. Well, maybe it was the disco thing, because kind of that's what the drums are in that butt rock stuff. What about at school? Were you in the choir, the marching band?
I didn't do that, and I regret it now. But I did go to college for jazz drumming. They had a small program at BSU because I grew up in Idaho, in Boise, Idaho.
Oh, okay.
And they had like a small little program, so I was able to. That's where I started any kind of school playing. But the rest of the time, I was playing in bars by the time I was 16.
Yeah, like you're talking about your brother, right? So, and what was he on? Guitar?
Yep, he's a guitar player. Yep.
Do you remember a club in Boise that Paul Revere and the had? Paul Revere and the Raiders, and it was a hardcore club for, maybe it's before your time, but And it actually got repurposed, right? Because this club was from the 60s, and then it got repurposed in the 90s to like a hardcore thing, and I can't remember its fucking name. But I've been at the Neuralux ever since.
Right, right. There's the Neuralux, but the Crazy Horse.
That's it. That's it. That's it.
Because
the Crazy
Horse. I have a short story about Firehose played the Crazy Horse.
Yeah.
And I was like, we went to that show, and I was young. I was like 13 or 14. And there was a laundromat around the corner, and I'm not sure if you remember this or not. I don't know why you would, but you guys were all doing some laundry.
Oh, that's important on tour.
Yeah, oh, totally. But you all were very gracious and cool talking to us, and it was awesome. It was great.
Yeah, it was an all-ages club.
Correct. Yes.
Right. Okay. I just never can. I can never remember the name. Crazy Horse. Okay. Okay. Thank you for doing that, because there was somebody talking to me a little while ago about that, and I couldn't remember the name. Okay. So when was your first gig? Was it with your brother?
Yeah. We threw a backyard show when it was like 12, I guess.
Wow.
And. Yeah, we had a punk rock band. We called it Trash Died Society. We thought we were pretty hardcore.
So how'd that gig go over? Tell me about it.
I mean, it was a blast. We were, you know, we only had a handful of songs, so it went pretty quick. But the kids, you know, our group of friends were just going nuts and, you know, moshing and just having tons of fun. And it was, you know, it pretty much lit me up, you know. I knew that I wanted to just play music.
Oh, wow. You know, was it on the Sparkle, on the Blue Sparkle Ludwig?
Yes, actually. And then I had, then after that one, I got a Red Sparkle Slingerland that had those concert toms.
Oh, yeah.
The heads on the
bottom. No heads on the bottom. That came from Arena Rock, so they could hear you know, more volume.
Right. But I only tried to record those one time, and they sounded like garbage.
Yeah, like 5 gallon ice cream buckets.
Right.
Yeah. Look, I want to play your Sunset Queen here.
like this time, there is no time at all. There's no climb like this climb. Don't look down or you might fall and hurt yourself. Do anything you wanna do.
Well, for Pedro show, we're talking about Billy Cobham off air. You know, Billy Cobham, big in George Hurley drummer background. He learned from Spectrum and then Keith Moon on the Happy Jack record. Sometimes I fuck that up. I say My Generation. There are two different records, but kind of the same Keith, especially in those days, which was wild ass, you know. You're not playing the hi-hat unless it's like one of the other cymbals. Keep it open really wide, wider than Ringo. We heard Sunset Queen from Last Giant, MSV after that, brand new, Italian 7-inch, and this is the A-side, Media Kittens. Further Set, brand new, with To Live Tenderly Anew. That's a tune for these days. Bombas Prendon, Drunk in the Dark, and one of the Bombas Prendons. Oh, it's Bombas Prendon. I keep fucking that up. Sorry, guys. 38 Tigers, Tanks a Lot. Tanks, that was the name of T-Rex album. And, yeah, there was Mark Bolan, like, crouched over a little plastic tank. And that was our first gig, was T-Rex. I didn't get to ask you that. I will when we get done. Plutonium Farmers with Fresh Produce. Yeah, yum, yum. Johnny Mark and the Ricks featuring the late Frankie Onway from Suburban Lawns. Don't Hurt Yourself. Paul Motion, great drummer, man. Petra Hayden, recorded with him, but he, cancer got him, with Trieste. And then finally, Last Giant with The End Will Begin. Interesting title. What was the first record you bought yourself, Ryan, with your own money?
Def Leppard Pyromania.
And what was the first gig you went and saw?
First gig I went to see was, my mom took me to see, Rick Springfield and Quarter Flash at the BSU Pavilion.
Yeah, Rick Springfield, people don't realize he was huge. And I think, actually one of his tunes got sampled for something or other. I mean, yeah, but he was also a soap opera guy.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that was the connect your mom was watching during the daytime. I don't know.
I think it was.
But you know, he was kind of in the school of Ricky Nelson. You know, a guy, okay, so he's on TV, but he could sing, he could play, he good. I bet that's what I thought. So that first backyard, in Pedro, we call those keggers. Where the first the grass dies off, but then it grows back really bright green. So, pissing.
Right, yeah. We were so young that obviously we couldn't even get our hands on beer if we tried. Yeah. But we had a kid in the corner selling concessions, selling like Smarties and you know, like candy and stuff, so...
Your first merch booth. Yeah. Now, you said you went to college for music.
Yeah, I went for a year at BSU, and I majored in music, and I had a jazz performance group that I was part of for drumming. But then I started hitting the road and doing a lot of touring. I was playing in a few bands. And I just decided I'd rather be on the road. And, so I did that.
But these weren't your bands. It was more like Side Mouse.
Oh, what's that?
They weren't your bands. It was more like Side Mouse or Side Man.
Right. Yeah. I did have my main band that I was playing guitar and writing songs for, which was called System and Station.
Okay. Let's talk about that. Yeah. When do you make the move to guitar? When? Because your brother's playing guitar, right? What, does he teach you?
No, actually, he stepped away. He got into snowboarding, and actually that's what he does. He got into, snowboarding and skating and stuff, so... He went that direction. I stuck with music, but we started a new band with some friends, but nobody could write a song. So my brother's guitar was just in the corner of our rehearsal space, and he wasn't using it. So I just picked it up and started plunking around, and it just made sense right away. And I think it comes from that rhythm, you know, the drumming background.
Oh, no.
And to do the rhythm.
Especially with rock and roll, if you could play drums, I really sincerely believe you can play any instrument if you just... Because, right, rhythm's more than half.
Oh, of course. Yeah, that right hand, I mean, well, unless you're left-handed, but that right hand, everything's right there, really. I mean, you can hold down a chord and play it, you know, a million different ways if you got different rhythm in your right hand.
Absolutely. So. It's not the left. See, the big, maybe Jimmy fooled us. The Northwest, you guys are good with that. It's all the left hand. But Jimmy, in fact, that's one of the bitching things because it's upside down. He could palm the knobs. But the idea of rhythm, I love that. So you didn't even have to take lessons. You were self-taught?
Yeah, self-taught. So that was my whole thing is since I did so much schooling around drumming, I wanted guitar to just be purely about writing songs and purely about, I don't want to know how to play guitar, you know what I mean? I just want to make it sound the way I want it to sound, sure. If that makes sense. I didn't want to use that as a schooling mechanism. I just wanted to have, you know, fun and write. And that's where I found my biggest joy was just writing songs, you know?
Okay. So, what was the first gig you did with a guitar?
That was a party as well. It was a Halloween party in an apartment complex where the whole building was bands and a few of the apartments and then just a wild party. That was the first time I ever played guitar and sang.
Now, was that scary? Was that scary compared to being the drummer man?
Big time. Big time. And I was not, I mean, I could play guitar okay, and I mean, I was kind of getting the hang of playing guitar and writing songs, but man, I could not sing it. I couldn't sing a note. So I'd like to say thanks to the guys playing with me for letting me sing.
Okay, where'd you go from there? Is this the last Giant formation days?
Oh, no. So System and Station lasted from 98 till 2013.
Okay. So this band, this first band you start playing guitar and singing, it's called System, Last System?
System and Station.
System and Station. Okay.
Yeah, and I'd played guitar and sang in one other band before I started System and Station. Go ahead.
What was that? What was the name of that band?
So the one before System and Station was called Racing Vent, which was a whole pretty garbage name, but that all only lasted like, I don't know, maybe a year.
Yeah, but you got to start somewhere, right? Like skateboarding. You don't start popping the ollies.
Exactly.
Maybe you do, but.
getting the legs.
Yeah.
We do like a handful of runs around the Northwest, and that's when I started getting warmed up for, you know, van life. And then once System and Station started, we moved across the country to Madison, Wisconsin. And then just so we could tour, do the East Coast stuff and do the Midwest stuff.
Do you know people don't realize Madison is on isthmus between two lakes? Well, you realize that if you live there.
Yeah, we lived right on the isthmus, in fact.
The wind blow off those lakes. Oh, man.
Oh, freezing. Yeah, we would get snow drifts of 6 to 7 feet against our house where you couldn't get out the front door. You had to dig out.
We're talking about a Rocky Mountain guy from Idaho, people.
Yeah. Yeah, the Wisconsin, man, I didn't have, like, Idaho had nothing on those snowstorms. And then, of course, the cold air blown across the lakes, right in the middle, it somehow would blow from both directions.
Yeah, I think it's Mendota and Monona or something like that. Yep. They're old native words. Okay, so how long you guys last out there?
So we did 3 years out there in Madison, and then we moved out here to Portland. And then that original version of the band, so the two other guys from Idaho, they went back to Idaho, and then friends of ours from Madison that also moved out to Portland, they joined System and Station with me, and we kept it going for another 12 years.
You know, the good thing about Madison, though, I mean, it's a great town. It's a college town. It's a capital and good clubs to play. I always had one guy, Tom Layton, do my gigs till he just had a heart attack and died after riding his bike one night. But it's also close to other big towns, like the Midwest, right? Chi-town and Minneapolis. But then you get to the West, you're like me in SoCal, where, yeah, there's an I-5 tour, but then buttloads of miles.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that was the point of going out there, you know, is just to get in as much as possible. And then, of course, once you get so you got the Midwest loop, but once you get into Ohio, from that point on, it was just so easy to hit the East. And, you know, every, 3 hours you had a gig for 4 hours.
Yeah, it's really happening. But the weather is, you can't, it's not like 365 days a year.
No, yeah.
So this band collapses.
Well, what happened was is we made it to 2013, and I had these songs for the first Last Giant record, and I just wanted to, with all that time with other people, I just wanted to do my own thing, so I actually just went in and recorded the whole record by myself and just played all the instruments.
So you already got a plan for Last Giant in this last phase of the...
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I knew what I wanted to do, and I had been building these songs. And the other guys, too, they were, you know, starting to have kids and wanting to, you know, change it up. So we're all still good buddies, but I just wanted to move on and do something on my own creatively.
Where'd you get the name Last Giant?
Well, actually, it's kind of one of those things that I just started putting words together. But also, you know, I had an interest in that John Coltrane box set, which is the Last Giant.
Yeah. Okay.
And so...
Also, Horace Tapscott had a song called The Giant Has Awakened. Or something like that. It's very famous. L.A. Piano Man. We're at the end of the first hour, November 16, 2020 edition of Wap Pedro Show. Hold tight. Hold special guest Ryan, Last Giant. Hold tight for hour two. November 16, 2020. It's the second hour of the Wap Pedro Show.
Yeah. trains roll in and the trains roll out. Do I wish I was riding people that ain't no doubt? But still I'm staying here in this mean old town. And I'll be staying. Get away so many times before. This case will kick you when you're down. You will keep coming back for more. So you see, I'm staying here in this mean old town.
this is Stacy. Leave a message and I'll get back to you.
drive this car straight off the cliff. If you think it's best, we'll go with it.
Pedro Show. Start the second hour with Ideology from Last Giant and Sam Bennett. He was on last Friday. Staying here in this mean old town. Goose and DJ Scotch Egg, that's Brother Shige in Berlin, collaborating with a cat in Shanghai named Goose with Jack, the Slickback remix. Deep in the Woods out of Dublin, Tommy O'Sullivan, Stacy, the remix. Sea Level, this is something out of Sea Town, Cleveland. Hard funk. You know, somebody sent me a picture. The dude had a D. Boone sticker on his acoustic guitar. Much respect. Followers, finally. Last Giant. So, Ryan, this first batch of Last Giant tunes, you're actually writing while you're performing with the other band, on the last legs of this other band.
Mm-hmm.
So, what about the recording process? Everything was ready to go?
Around the last shows for System, I was going into a local studio here called Toad House Recordings, which is this guy Adam Pike. He did the first Red Fang record. And anyway, I was going in and just putting down a couple songs at a time And then after System and Station had our last show, then I just booked out a couple weeks in January of 2014 and just went in and I set the studio up with different, so one area would be, I'd have my drum kit, one area would be for the bass, one would be for guitar, and I just wanted to roll each part kind of quickly, as quickly as I could from one to the next. So I was, okay, track the drums, run over bass.
Ah, I was going to ask you that. Was the drums first?
Yeah.
Because those records the one-man records like Prince and Stevie Wonder, Dave Grohl's first Foo Fighter, they all started with drums, so I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, I think actually I did do a quick scratch. So I did do a quick scratch on the guitar. You know, obviously everything's two click, but then I go drums and do the bass, and then I do more of a proper guitar take. And then double that and then run the vocals, but I just try to do that same way for each song. Because, well, for another, the money too you're spending in the studio, yep. You're just doing one thing, it can take forever. So I made sure I was nice and prepared.
Yeah, that was one kind of neat thing. Like, you didn't do any writing in the studio, right? You had it all ready to go.
Yeah, I demoed everything at home. And
that's smart. So, like, you made demos and shit?
Yep, so I was demoing. I had one of those. At the time, I wasn't even using, a computer recording setup. I had one of those old digital 8-tracks, one of those old Roland digital 8-tracks, but using that to demo it out, and then...
Believe it or not, Ryan, I've done an album, not myself, but I played on things that became albums that came off those things.
Nice.
Yeah, Richard Meltzer, the Spiel Gusher. They're hard as hell to edit on, but...
Oh, yeah.
Which
I never did. I treat it like analog, where I'm just like, hey, you got to get your takes right.
That's very hard. Here, I want to play Kill Your Memory.
the fire enough to keep us warm. We went to the woods to hide our desires, to save us from the storm. In the blackest dark, I'll show you my heart, as much as I can spare. Hidden by the trees, where no one can see, dare to be ourselves. We drank from the water to cool our desires, to be now, to be now. We drank from the water to cool our desires, to be now, to be now. We went to the woods, we started a fire, enough to keep us warm. We went to the woods where we started up a fire. It raged out of control. It swallowed up the sky. It climbed ever higher. Too much for the soul to hold. We watched as the flames burn all around us and became our world. We drank. We drank from the water, despite of the fire, to be now, to be now. We drank from the water to cool our desires, to be now.
Somebody new, just you. make it through, 'cause it's not fair. So I say boo, 'cause it's a boo-boo. And I thought you thought we were meant to be. I guess that person turned out to be she. Who really matters? You know, I think you're being cruel. Some would say that you are a fool, but I know that one day you have somebody make you say boo-hoo.
Of the days.
get it in the take, then, and you're trying to chop stuff up, that's, it just didn't feel like playing music to me, you know?
Yeah, it's more like, well, you know, that word cut and paste is perfect because that's what it ends up sounding like.
Right, yeah.
I swear so much new music sounds like this. It's not together. It's not organic. Yeah. There's something, It really freaks me out. It freaks me out, man. And I'm not trying to say the old days or whatever, because especially with the Econo, with the equipment, but it's the way it's being used. These aren't word processing things. You know, it's not cut paste.
Right. Yeah. There's music is music because of the
performance, like you said.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me tell the people. Kill Your Memory from Last Giant, The Woods from Samuel Locke Ward, Dot Wiggin Band, Boo Hoo, Silver Thing, Sunshine Down, Do You Feel Me, Pussycat and the Dirty Johnsons, and finally, Radio Swell, Last Giant. So, tell me about the first Last Giant gig.
So, the first Last Giant gig actually was here in Portland at a place called the Bunk Bar. And so I had met the drummer, Matt Wiles. He's a full-time member in Last Giant, and he's listed as, you know, he co-wrote this new album with me, helped arrange and whatnot. So I met him, and then the old bass player from System and Station, Adam Schultz, played with us. So we were operating as a three-piece. And our first show, we opened for The Life and Times. Are you familiar with them at all?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Alan Epley and so The Life and Times was our first show. And it was a blast. It was fun. It was really interesting because the first time I'd ever made a record and then, you know, by myself and obviously and then try and learn how to play those songs live with other people. And it just ended up feeling even better than the record, you know, because you have that. You can hear it all in the space, and you can, you know, everybody's putting their elbow grease in it, and it was fun.
Now,
it
was, relating with your drummer, man, because you're a drummer, so you kind of know what you want. You know, like with me, I have to kind of, hopefully the guy can, I don't try to imagine for him stuff that's impossible to do. I mean, George, you would tell me that. God damn.
I
got so weirded out. I tried to, right after Fireless, make a band with two drummers because Georgie was writing away because I was asking him to do like impossible things with the kick drum because the kick drum is I know it looks like a fucking guitar, but actually the closest note on the stage to the bass is the kick drum. Mm. So I was asking for all these things, but he says, dude, that's part of this whole. He goes, one time Georgie said to me, you know, kick drum is just something I put in the. Between everything else. He says, I'm up balancing on my tailbone using every fucking limb. So I got let me tell you one more thing before. I don't want to bogart on your time, but big mistake Minutemen made was not putting George Hurley at the front of the fucking stage. You know, I've been doing it the last 20 years. A lot of respect for that cat. So let's get back to this communication. You, sort of like Dave Grohl, right? I've read something where he replaced drums on one of the records, but he being a drummer man, he knows what can be done. So do you have the same kind of thing with your drummer man?
Yeah. Well, like if I'm, you know, I'm writing, most of the time I can't help it, but the drum parts are going to pop in my head or how I hear it. And I just break those down into what I, you know, do I hear it as absolutely essential to the, you know, a part or, you know, to the song. And if it is, then I'll communicate it to him if I really hear it. But most of the time, you know, if it's the two of us in a room, I want him to be able to go through what he hears and try absolutely everything. And if it's not happening, then we can go back to my original idea. Just so he feels like he's part of it, but also you never know what you're going to find. But if I hear something in my brain that I know, then I can get a little rigid about those certain parts. But for the most part, I try and keep it as open canvas, if that makes sense.
No, it does. And what also tells me excuse me, that you got a trust thing with him, is you brought him on as co-arranger.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's really, and that's the thing too, is I've been lucky enough to play with a lot of great drummers. Being a drummer myself, I've been real lucky that way. But I feel Matt's kind of one of those guys where I feel, you know, he's just got some chops that I just don't have. You know what I mean? That I really appreciate his skill level and his input. He's a good dude, great player.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I love hearing that. But you know, it took a drummer man to trust a drummer man. But other musicians have got to understand this shit, that drummers aren't retarded dudes that aren't musicians. This is an old cliche, right. An old cartoon that I think came out of jealousy, because we know where the real power is, especially a rock and roll.
Oh, yeah.
What a giant thing to make the drummer out to be like some kind of clown.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy. My grandpa, you know, he was a big band player, and that's why he got me that drum kit. And I remember him telling me super young, he just said, people are going to tell you, and of course this could be in different contexts, but he said, you know, people are going to tell you these days, and this was like the late 80s, that your lead singer is the lead of the band. It's not. It's your drummer, as far as the musicality, not the guy signing the checks, the musicality. And your band's only as good as your drummer.
Yeah, and that's your grandpa's just fucking right on, totally right on.
Yep, and that just stuck with me my whole life. So
yeah, great. Man, I wish I could have took some lessons from him. We're at the end of the second hour, November 16, 2020, just Watt Peters. So special guest Ryan from Last Giant. Hold tight for hour three. November 16, 2020, it's the third hour of Watt Peters Show. Pedro Show, third hour. Started off with Emperor in Reverse from Last Giant. Wasted Space. That's Crane. Now, he lived here. Palos Verdes next to Pedro. But he's been in Idaho, but he's way up north. Almost by the Canada border. And he sent me these tapes when he was down here as a teenager. And Wasted Space, Empress. Then Bronze Age UFO. Brand new from them out of Baltimore. Racket Man. And finally, Letter to Lenin. Last Giant. Now, this is spelled like John Lennon's Lennon. Did you write this for him?
Yeah, I actually wrote... I wrote the song. So it's interesting because this song was actually written a couple years ago before Last Giant took a break. And then when we reconvened October 2019 to start writing out this record, we decided to use this song. But I'd written it right after the last election and just, you know, everything going on. I wrote it from a perspective of what would John Lennon think of what's going on right now? You know, how would he feel about, you know, after all he put in? And just is the kind of perspective that not much has changed. In fact, it probably has gotten a lot worse from what he was fighting before, you know, and his statement before.
Now, you know who passed away the same weekend he did? Mm-hmm. Well, he was murdered. Darby from the Germs. Now this,
Really? Yeah. That was the same weekend. I had no idea.
Yeah, it was Pearl Harbor. That's why I always remembered, like the December 7th, because I was dying of pneumonia in a hosp. I was 20, just about turned 22, and they had bags of ice between my legs and my armpits to try to bring the fever down. And, he had heavy things, though. I think a lot of problems with the man. They were trying to throw him out of the country. I think he felt a lot of stress, too. Those days, things, even though fucked up now and stuff, but you can imagine how uptight stuff was in those days. You could go to prison for life for MOTA.
It was like, right, that's right. That's when Reagan, right?
Yeah, well, he just got in that year. Okay, mm-hmm. But think about the 70s and the 60s and, you know, what his time, right? So, mm-hmm. But this idea of, like, you imagining another cat, does this help you with songwriting?
Yeah, as far as lyrics go, I mean, lyrically, the newest album, you know, it really... It's me kind of blowing off steam of what I see going on in the world, and just, you know, there's definitely some political aspects. So, but I try to write lyrics from all kinds of different perspectives. On the last record, I try to write more from like stories, if lyrically, and then, you know, also some, you know, personal experience.
Can I ask you what's harder, music or the words?
Oh, always the words.
And what comes first, the music or the words?
The music, always, yeah. Okay.
And what about the title? I always ask people this.
The title comes before the rest of the lyrics, usually. Well, I don't know. I guess there's no real one set way. Sometimes it works like there's a song called The End Will Begin on this new record.
Yeah, we played that.
And exactly. So that song, the title just showed up in my brain, and then I wrote to the title essentially. But then other times I'll have a working title that gets thrown out once the lyrics are in place, if it makes a little bit more sense with, you know.
I'll let you know why I asked you, because I always have to start with the title, because that's, like you said, like a kind of a focus, an anchor point that can start from there. But almost everybody I ask, they say the title comes last.
Right. I guess there's no – the only set way I have from running is the music comes first. Like I'll shoot – sometimes music comes from dreams. I'll dream a song, wake up, pick up guitar, and it's there. Sometimes I'll just get, you know, one quick – you know, hook in my brain and try and get that out, and then it'll gestate for years and then come to fruition. So
do you use a little recorder kind of thing? You know, I started doing this. I put a bass, the little Hofner from China, like a Beatle bass. They're really light and stuff. I got it for Tafalco, and I love it. It's got its own trip in it, but I can put it right where I conk. So I'm like you say, you wake up and you just, get it on there on the little scratch pad. It's a little recorder thing. And, I never did that in the old days, and shit, so much shit got forgot.
Oh, absolutely. But do you notice now, too, that, like, you'll fill up, or if you record something on your phone, you just record so many of these hooks, but nothing, you know, a lot of stuff just can sit.
Well, mine's like a Star Trek can. You can't do that shit. My sister, it's actually the two-for-one thing with my sister, you know. I don't have a smart one, but this one's just a little Sony. I want to play Edge of Town.
She won't fall. head for the horizon. Love will keep on hiding. Just gotta dig deeper, dig, dig much deeper. Dig deeper, dig, dig much deeper. And you might just find love at the end.
This, then, is stereophonic sound. Sound sculptured in space. This then is stereophonic sound. Sound sculptured in space.
Thank you.
you're trying to remember something, like, oh, I know it was cool, but I just can't.
I bring that little recorder now when I do my hobbles in the morning. But like, yeah, like I was saying, the Minutemen days, if I didn't write that tune right when I thought of it, bye-bye. Mm. Maybe somehow it was invested into the next time I did get a song on the, in those days, cassette recorder, right, the way you push the two fingers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. People, last music of this edition, Edge of Town from Last Giant, End of the World, the Thomas Scott Quintet, that's a Brother Phil in Liverpool. He's going to make a piano record. A Scalpel Big Band out of Poland with some more brass. Big band, I should say. A sculpture. And live. And then Trupa Trupa from Gdansk, Poland. Felice. Yeah. God, they know English better than I do. Portland's own Poison Idea with It's an Action. And finally, Dead Shore. Yeah, what's it playing right now?
Well, you know, just, I think just like everybody else, it's playing music and trying to figure out what happens next. Just actually, I got a, you know, I got a call then. I was furloughed from work due to, you know, the pandemic, and so then my schedule opened wide open, and we actually just recorded the whole thing like 2 weeks after 2 weeks into April, and then we thought we. So Paul Malinowski from Shiner mixed it out in Kansas City, and we recorded it here at my home studio. But we thought we had it completed, and then the song Ideology, that was a, popped up in a dream and said, "We, you know, I want to throw this on the record." And so we recorded that hastily and sent it back out to him, and the record was all mastered and mixed and wrapped by July. Absolutely. Ideology is directly, I mean, that's...
You know, if you look back in time, there's been... things that got in the way of music.
Oh, absolutely. But there's so much music coming out right now. So many people are creating. And
yeah, yeah. And where can people find you on the internet?
So we are at lastgiantband.com. And then we've got the Bandcamp, which is...
yeah, but they can probably find that there at your own site, right? And Bandcamp is great, okay. By the way, man. First Fridays, right, of every month. They give all the bones to the bands.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what's paying for the vinyl, upcoming vinyl release, so.
Yeah, thank you, good people there. And thank you for keeping on, man. People, November 16, 2020, this is what? This is the Wofford Beaver Show. Keep your powder dry.